Great. Welcome. This morning, we are celebrating the winter solstice, and that's the name we give to the shortest day of the year, the beginning of winter, part of our Earth-centered tradition that celebrates the circle of life. To start this part of the celebration, I would like each of you to choose your favorite among these four colors: green, blue, red, or yellow. If your favorite color is blue, is green, go and stand near Reverend Shauna.
Come on with me. Green.
If your favorite color is blue, go and stand near Penelope. If your favorite color is red, go and stand near Faye. And if your favorite is yellow, come and stand near me over here. Great. Everybody has to have at least one favorite. So in the pagan tradition, each color represents a direction, a season, and some other characteristics, enemy energies, or elements. Do you remember the four things we just sang about in our opening song? The earth, the air, the fire, and the water? In the pagan tradition, those are called elements. And as we talk about the colors, listen to find out which element, which direction, and which season goes with the color. Now, I have the yellow group here, a lovely, mighty little band. And we're standing by the eastern wall of the sanctuary. East stands for air, and air represents our powers of clear sight and inspiration, represents all our good ideas. It's the beginning of sunrise of every day, and it's the spring of each year. So if you're in the yellow group, think about what flies in the air. And let's move our hands as if we were birds. Okay? That's great. Good.
Well, here we are the red group. We represent the south. And so we are at the south end of the sanctuary. Now, what season do you think of when you think of the summer? Well, there's some influence from the south, even in February. That's right. Summer is warm. Think of sunshine. It's like fire. Fire with the power to excite, exactly. Fire that gives us energy for creativity. Let's wave our arms, our fingers, like flames of the fire from the south.
My group here is the blue group. We are in the west side of the sanctuary. We've had the spring and the summer, so what season comes next? Autumn, that's right. Autumn is rainy, and here in the west we have water. Water represents the powers of healing and compassion. Let's make some fishy motions with our hands. There you go. Thank you.
And here, up at the north part of the sanctuary, we are the green group. We are proud and strong and green. The north represents the powers of strength and wisdom and abundance. When we think of the north, what season might we think of? The season of sneezes. That's an interesting. I knew I was in trouble when I asked that question. So, but it's true. Green things, for those with allergies, can be a season of sneezes. But actually, the season we were looking for is winter. Like your Christmas tree or your wreath would be green. Or when you get a cold, even, you could be sneezing. True. So when we think of the north, we think of winter, the dark of the night, because the lights are long in winter, and the earth, which is below our feet. So green people, guess what you guys get to do with me? You get to stand up and stomp your feet, because we You're the earth people. Awesome. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, everybody. Now, this is another way of thinking about our world and our place in it. Whether you find yourself in light or in darkness, you can always think of the four directions and choose one to take you home. Today, in your classes, you'll learn more about these elements and directions, and you'll get ready for the longest night of the year. And so, would you make your motions that we did just a little minute ago as you walk out the aisles so the adults can tell which group you're in and wait for the adults to make their arches?
Today's reading for meditation was written for last year's solstice service by Farron Clark, who was then a youth member of our congregation and has now gone off to university. So please settle into your chairs, close your eyes if you wish to, and let us contemplate Farron's images and consider what it is to rest as we head into the longest night of the year. Tonight we'll rest. Tonight we'll turn away from the sun for a little while. Tomorrow we will again move toward light and warmth and energy, toward birth and growth and life. But tonight, we'll rest. The leaves are all fallen off the trees, and the sap slumbers in dormant roots. Bears are curled in caverns, hearts slow, breathing slow, waiting, but in no hurry. Birds have flown south and now sleep beneath warmer skies. Their journey's over for this night, although soon they must take flight again. Tonight we'll rest. Frogs are frozen in their holes, cold, unmoving, but ready to spring up when the earth melts around them, waiting for the sun to bring them back to life. Flowers wait in bulbs below the ground, green shoots not ready to meet the world, cradled, protected from the ice outside. Tonight we'll rest. And some flowers don't wait in bulbs. Some are thin, gray stalks that will crumble in the spring rain. And the rain will wash away their seeds and plant them in rich, thawed earth. Each a universe of potential. But not yet. Tonight we rest. Tonight, children will sleep safe and warm with the night outside their windows as we rest. Tonight, our loved ones are curled in their beds and we rest. Tonight, the world turns away from the sun for a little while longer, closes its eyes just briefly. And tonight, we'll sleep wrapped in a blanket of darkness. Tonight, we'll rest.
It's lovely to see all of you here this morning. I kept seeing people coming in, unfamiliar faces, which always makes me excited and delighted this holiday season, because it means many of you are here to keep company with good folks this holiday season. This morning's service is sort of, I would say, both a typical and sort of an atypical look at the solstice. You may have noticed that I'm focusing on the dark rather than the light, which is not usually the way these solstice services go. I want to begin with an online encyclopedia entry I discovered this week about the symbolism of light and dark. And I quote, "Darkness is a symbol of evil or mystery or fear. The darkness is almost always pictured as a monster waiting to swallow you whole. It is the absence of light. Scientifically, it is only possible to have a reduced amount of light. The emotional response to an absence of light has inspired metaphor in literature and symbolism and in art. The story of the light versus the darkness is one that everyone thinks they know. The light is good, and the dark is bad. However, this is too broad of a generalization. End quote. Finding our way in the dark. I have been increasingly troubled by the simplistic view of light and dark that I just outlined. As we gather today on the darkest, shortest day of the year, the day with the least light, sunrise today was, believe it or not, at 8:03 a.m., and the sun will set at 4:20 p.m., it seemed a good time to reflect on the gifts of darkness and on the synergy between light and dark. Rather than pitting the two against one another, perhaps we can find the value in and the gifts gleaned from both. Now, as a person of color, I have always cringed when I hear dark used as a negative adjective or descriptor over and over and over again. People do it just sort of as a matter of course. She was in a dark place, people say. Or that was a dark time in my life, she'll reply. Or he'll say, you know, it was a bleak, dark, and stormy evening, and my life was falling apart in the dark. While there are times when the symbol of darkness as descriptor for a mood or an experience is apt, if and when we overuse it, it feels like darkness bashing to me. Given the history of racism and the continued challenges for people with whose complexions are other than white, it's not an accident if you've been paying attention to the news in my home nation that there are signs all over cities throughout the United States that say Black Lives Matter. There is something about dark and black that we quite honestly need to come to grips with, need to see in more positive terms. So we would do well, my friends, to attend closely to our negative uses and associations with things dark and black. Of course, the companion to this is the light is good symbol. While I have always appreciated earth-based spiritual rituals and practices that honor how much our lives are changed by the seasons and the natural processes of our planet, I confess to having some reservations over the years about honoring the return of the light, both because it feeds into that symbolism that I just spoke of, dark, bad, light, good, but also because it doesn't feel to me like it gives the merits of darkness its due. I enjoy the warmth of the sun and the long summer days as much as most, but I also think that the rest, the nurturance, and the generative qualities of the dark have qualities worthy of our appreciation as well. You sang about it a bit earlier in one of my favorite darkness hymns. We're singing my two favorite darkness hymns this morning. In Dark of Winter, you said, "Darkness, when my fears arise, let your peace flow through me." As if darkness has some peace to offer you. You said that your soul would sing a song of love eternal that could be found in the darkness, that sometimes your eyes weary of all that light. So what are the gifts of darkness of this winter season for you? Do you find more moments of stillness and calm in this season than you do in others? Do you, like the bear in the meditation that Liz just shared, hibernate a bit this time of year? Do you find yourself reading all those books that have been on your bedside table all year long, waiting for you to take the time to read them? Maybe you're even journaling a little bit right now. Perhaps you find that you have more time to reflect and take stock of your life, of where you are and where you wish to be, of who you love and who you've lost. Maybe in these dimmer days, you find there are some things that you actually see more clearly. There are some things that bright, direct light don't always show you so well. Some experiences in our lives are better seen without that glare. Perhaps dim outlines, the shapes of things, the twinkling holiday lights, some things, candlelight even, need the dark. And perhaps it goes without saying, but we can't appreciate one without the other. Without the dark, there is no light, and vice versa. The light doesn't feel so warm and so lovely if you haven't experienced the darkness of gray days and long nights. And similarly, you can't appreciate the way you were able to gaze at the stars or sit in the moonlight if you hadn't spent some time in the blaze of midday. Perhaps a way to appreciate the darkness for all it has to give is to remember some of our favorite nighttime memories. We can make the dark a little less foreboding that way. So I invite you this morning to think of some of your favorite night memories. When I sat down to write this week, I found three leap to my mind. One was just this past Halloween, walking through the streets of Oak Bay, watching all these little goblins and lots of Frozen characters this year, looking at all these dressed up little faces, delighting in the dark, in the secretive running around to houses, knocking on doors, and then arriving, as they have a tradition in Oak Bay, at the firehouse at a huge bonfire. Without the darkness, that fire would have seemed ridiculous. And the delight of those shrieking children wouldn't have been nearly as lovely in the bright light of midday. The other memory I thought of this week was a time when I gathered with some friends for my 30th birthday, a long time ago now, which included a night when several of us went outside into a hot tub. We were in New Mexico, and as we were sitting in this hot tub, it began to snow. And it was like this magical moment of dark with these light little flakes brushing and landing on eyelashes and hair, and we were warm up to here. It was just amazing. And during the day, that wouldn't have been so special, wouldn't have been as remarkable as it was, because the snow felt like it was falling from nowhere, just appearing as if a gift from the sky. The last memory that occurred to me was having the most amazing view I've ever had, sitting out on a deck watching an amazing fireworks show exploding over the Atlantic Ocean, watching the light of the fireworks reflected in the water, watching the light in the sky like stars and meteors only with color, just marveling at how beautiful it was. Reflections, colors, majesty. Darkness has its gifts. So as you prepare to welcome the returning light, days growing in length, perhaps you can use it as a time to appreciate the dark as it retreats. As we approach the new year, perhaps the interplay of light and dark can serve as companions in your reflections about where you are in your life and where you feel headed next. Perhaps you will notice in the lyrics of this morning's hymns some of the beauty to be found in the dark. In the balance of light and dark, and in your light, may you find the sustenance you need and the inspiration to see things clearly. So may it be this season and every season.